Listen, 99% of what I've learned in business, I learned on the failures. When things go right and everything works out, half the time, I don't know why the hell it did. It just did. But you survived 2008 and 2009, for example.
Yeah.
We had just borrowed a couple of $1 million in 2007 and bought up some competitors. And then 08, 09, the Great Recession, the housing market crashed. And when you survive that, that's when you do your hardcore learning.
Welcome back to another episode of the Tradepreneur Show. I'm your host, Patrick Summers, and I have a very special guest today. The legend, the HVAC legend, Mr. Weldon Long.
Well, that's awfully generous of you, Patrick, because I thought you were the legend, the icon, the GOAT.
I'm working hard to get there, but you're way ahead of me. So.
Well, you know, we're all on the same path, just a little different places. But thanks for having me, man. I'm super excited to be out here with your crew. At General, what an amazing crew you have. Great company and beautiful area, Palm Springs. I've been loving it out here. I think I told you my wife and I are actually coming out for a month in January to get out of the Colorado cold.
Yeah, and so. it's a perfect time to be here.
Yeah.
You know, perfect time to be here. And you'll quickly realize why so many people come here from Canada and the Midwest that time of year. So, and it's ironic because, you know, for our business, the climate is the hot temperature. Right. Is the summertime, but we don't have any population here.
Right.
And but then you come into this time, our population goes to over 1 million.
Wow.
And the weather's just beautiful. We don't really have a heating or cooling
season. Unless you're in our business.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Hence why you would need to diversify and do some plumbing and electrical
Which
and things
like
that.
Which you guys like have that. Done a fantastic job of doing, I might add.
So, and we've been working together about a year now, right? Yeah. Close to a year.
Yep. Yeah.
So, as you guys know, I'm a big believer in having mentors and using other individuals or organizations to help train not only myself, but the team. And so I've been following Weldon for quite some time through the years. He's written 3 books, right?
Yep.
And so we have given them to a bunch of the team to read. And it was like, hey, there was an opportunity to engage with him on a level that I think would take us to the next level, help take us to the next level. And we had a few conversations, and I remember the one conversation you said, you know, you strike me as the type of person that you're going to want me on site, right?
Well, you know, prior to COVID, for probably 10 or 12 years, I was traveling 200,000 miles a year, speaking, coaching, and keynote speaking and all that, and came from this industry originally. Pretty much everything I know about making money, I learned at the kitchen table across from mom and pop homeowner, and then my second book, The Power of Consistency, as you know, hit the New York Times bestselling list. That opened up my career to a whole bunch of other industries and different things. And I've worked with FedEx and Farmers and Allstate and Comcast and you name it. But I come from this industry, and this industry has really given me everything that I have in my life because those other opportunities never would have happened. You kind of know my backstory. We can go into that if you want to. But you did strike me as the kind of guy that's like, listen, I want the first class deal. Because after COVID or during COVID, we kind of shifted like everybody else did to doing a lot of stuff online. A lot of my coaching, a lot of my speaking, even keynotes people were doing online. As we came out of COVID, I realized, man, I really don't like traveling all that much. So we've really shifted a lot of our coaching to online. And then I do events at my car barn in Colorado Springs where we keep the Ferraris and the classic cars and all that. And as it turns out, the guys love it because they get to hang out with the cool cars. At the end of the day, we open the doors, they get to smoke cigars, do whatever they want to do. Yes, but that was not going to be Patrick Summers' program. He's like, I want you on site. And so we've been doing a lot of on sites, and I think we're going to be on sites through most of next year.
Yeah. But in addition to the on sites, we do send the team out to Colorado Springs and attend the different classes you have there in the car barn, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people in the industry know you, but for those that do not, why don't you give us the quick high level, your story, background, how you got into the industry?
Yeah, a quick version is I was a knucklehead, punk, and a thug when I was growing up. Dropped out of high school in 9th grade, started running the streets. By the time I was 23, I had committed a crime, went to prison for 4.5 years when I was 23 years old, got out when I was 27, was still a 9th grade high school dropout, still a knucklehead, now a convicted felon to boot. Made it about 2 years, went back to prison again for 2 years, got out again at 30 years old, so spent all my 20s in the Colorado State Penitentiary System. Got out at 30, now I'm a 2-time convicted felon, no skills, no trade, nothing. I did about 7 years in the federal system, but during that stay in the federal system, in June of 96, I was 32, and my father died. And that was kind of my wake-up call. You know, what have I done with my life? I had a three-year-old son that I had fathered when I was out on parole, so I abandoned my son. And my father was, he died very young at 59, and I made a decision that I was going to change the course of my life. The next thought I had is, well, how the hell do you do that? How do you turn the Titanic of my life around with no education, no skills? So, Patrick, much like yourself, I started reading. I just started reading books. I'd go to the library and read and tell people. I started with the Bible. I ended with Tony Robbins. And everything in between. And I spent 7 years educating myself. And in 2003, January, I walked out to a homeless shelter in Colorado Springs and knocked on doors for 6 months. It was hard to find a job with my background and no experience. I was 39 years old by that time. And walked into a little heating and air conditioning company, J.D. Vigil. May he rest in peace. He passed away a couple of years ago. But Jesse Vigil had a little company there in Colorado Springs and said, you know what? I think you're a changed man. I'm going to give you a shot. And I went out my very first month in this business, which was July of 2003, and sold $149,000 wow. of air conditioners. Our average ticket was $7,000 back in those days. And I did that. Ended up opening my own company, building that to $20 million, selling it. Started consulting and speaking, and now we own seven other companies as well. So I keep one foot in the industry, kind of like you. What I respect about what you're doing is that you're teaching, you're educating, but you got a foot in the industry. I'm suspicious of guys that say, look how easy it is to make money in this business. And if it's so damn easy, why aren't you doing it? Why are you just selling your training? So I keep a foot in both industries.
Yeah, and that's such a good point, because in this industry, I call them the young guns. You know, these guys, they've never been in a gunfight, right? and they get out there and they start a business. They have a little bit of success, may have a whole lot of success, but all of a sudden, what they haven't had is failure. Mm. And they get out there and they want to start lecturing and teaching people, which I think, look, I'm fantastic, great, but I really want to hear from somebody who's been through it.
Listen, 99% of what I've learned in business, I learned on the failures. When things go right, and everything works out, half the time, I don't know why the hell it did. It just did. But you survived 2008 and 2009, for example.
Yeah.
We had just borrowed a couple of $1 million in 2007 and bought up some competitors. And then 08, 09, the Great Recession, the housing market crashed. And when you survive that, that's when you do your hardcore learning. That's when you do the learning. And that's what when you test your mettle and where you really, really, you know, cut your teeth and cut your skills.
Well, and yeah, and I remember there was days I would walk in and it would be a Monday. And I'd have a $80,000 payroll due on Thursday, and I had like $15,000 in the account. And you're like, but I'm like, to the team, I was like, we got this. This is what we got to do. And somehow, some way, I think a lot had to do with the grace of God. We always made payroll, right? But it's like those are that's where you learn. That's where you learn. And you know, I always use the analogy: life's a roller coaster, right? You don't want a merry-go-round. It's boring. Life's a roller coaster. And man, when you're down, the only thing you want to do is get out of that down, right?
Yep.
But I'll tell you, in my experience, when I look back, you don't realize it till you're up again. But when you're down is where some of my greatest memories and moments and lessons have come from.
Yep. I tell people, you get in a situation like that, you can't borrow your way out of it. You can't steal your way out of it. You can't cheat your way out of it. You got to sell your way out of it. And in my companies, we've had some great times and some bad times. The last company that I built, we started it in 2019, right before COVID, grew it to $42 million within 5 years. We sold that last year. And it's because we are really, really experts at the selling process, the communications process. And you gotta get to those tough times. I tell people there's an old ancient Chinese proverb, something along the lines of fall down 8 times, get up 9, you know? And business owners have not lived until they've awakened at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday morning, wondering how they're going to make payroll that afternoon. But isn't it something how we always figure it out?
It always gets figured out. And and I think a big part of that is a lot of what you learned and what you teach. And that is the mindset, you know, being able to manifest what you need, what you want. My wife is like so advanced in manifesting things. I was in my office, and this was this year, and I was like really stressed out about something. I can't even remember what it was. And she comes in, and she was visiting me. She sat down. She said, do you have a piece of paper? I said, yeah. She said, all right. She draws a line down the middle, and she wrote, God on one side, you on the other side. She said, okay, what can you control? And she still would start writing it down. And she got done the list, and she said, okay, everything else, falls under God.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Turn it over to Him. Stay positive. Stay focused. She's told me many times, get your head out of your ass.
Yeah.
Right? But it's amazing. She will literally, she has a healthcare business, and she will literally say, she would tell her team, I remember one day in particular, we're gonna get 3 new clients today.
Yeah.
And 4 o'clock comes, and the team's like, oh man, I was really excited. I thought we were gonna get 4 new clients. And this was when she started out. Within 30 minutes, the first client came.
Yeah.
And by 6 o'clock, they had 3 clients.
Yeah.
And my wife, while the rest of the team was like, oh man, well, I was hoping for it. My wife's like, hey, the day's not over.
Right.
You know, the day's not over. And I'm just like, how do you do that? But I'm learning more and more on how to do that. But yeah, but you just figure it out, but you always gotta believe.
Yep.
You gotta believe, and that's a big thing. And you know, back to the success and failure, you know, a popular saying, at least if you're in the right circles, I think is success leaves clues, right? Always. But failure leaves clues too, right? And if you can pick up on the 2 clues, it doesn't mean, like in my experience, like if I read a book, I had a young kid, he was reading books and he was like, yeah, I'm reading these books because I'm not gonna make the same mistakes as them. I'm like, you know what? Mm. All these books are gonna do, you might avoid some mistakes,
right,
but they're gonna help you realize quicker when you're in the mistake.
Right.
Just because you read about somebody else's struggles doesn't mean you're not gonna have your own.
The mistake is the great educator.
And yours is gonna come wearing a different outfit.
Yeah. Yep.
And you won't realize it till you're in it,
yep,
but you'll realize it quicker,
yep,
and you'll know you can get out of it.
And I just want to comment on one thing. You talked about your wife being in the manifesting. When I first started reading about this stuff in 1996, 30 years ago, when my dad passed away, at first to me, I thought it was this mystical type of, remember the big book that was out about manifesting? I forget the name of it now. The Secret.
The Secret. The Secret. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right? And it all seemed kind of hocus pocus and a little bit mystical. When I started studying the neurology of why that happens, then it made sense to me. Right, you have a thought, it creates chemicals in the hypothalamus that trigger the corresponding emotion. The emotion drives the behavior. Of course, the behavior drives the results. So that's why we're all products of our expectations. If we think something's going to happen, for better or for worse, it's going to drive the corresponding emotions. That's going to drive corresponding behaviors, and that's the result. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's why your mother always said, be careful what you wish for. You don't have to be a neuroscientist to figure this stuff out, although I've met with many neuroscientists, real neuroscientists. I remember one time this guy, Ed Nottingham, PhD, clinical psychologist, neuroscientist, calls me up when the book came out and he said, Mr. Long, I got to tell you, this book, The Power of Consistency, is the simplest explanation of the neuroscience behind decision making and results and the principles that are the underpinnings of rationally motivated behavior therapy I've ever read in my life. And I said, there's a name for this shit? It was like, it's all common sense. But since in the last, that book came out, I think 2012 or 2013, something like that. But it's been reinforced by people, you know, that are really smart in that line of work. My stuff is from the street level because that's where I come from, right? I tell people I went to State Penn, not Penn State. Yeah, that's where I learned my rules. But at any rate, you're right. It is very, very powerful. Your wife's exactly on point. But I always like to stress to people, it's not about the mysticism. It's none of that stuff. It's basic neurology and how the chemical in the brain works.
Yeah, and that, to your point, yeah, when you first start thinking about it, talking about it, reading about it, you start to think it's some voodoo magic,
mm-hmm,
and it's not
neuroscience,
and that's why I am so conscious of my self talk,
yep,
and what I say, yep, and then the people that are around me. Because what I learned is, even if I'm telling myself the right things, if I'm surrounded by people,
yeah,
that aren't, it's the energy, it's the belief systems, and it's amazing how the subconscious mind goes to work to make things happen that you put out there.
You know, neuroscientists say that the subconscious mind is 10,000 times more powerful than the conscious brain. Think about what we've accomplished consciously, you know, since the history of mankind. 10,000 times more powerful, but here's the problem. As powerful as the subconscious mind is, it's a lousy judge of character. It'll act on negative stimulus, negative ideas, just as effectively as positive stuff. If you ever had a situation, you're trying to figure out a problem, you just can't figure it out, and all of a sudden at 2 o'clock one morning you wake up, boom, there's the answer. That's because the subconscious never stops trying to figure it out. But it'll figure out negative stuff too. And that's why you have to do exactly what you just said. You have to be so careful about the influences, the books, the TV, the people, anything going in there, because the subconscious mind is a lousy judge of character.
Yeah, that's well said. Well said. Let's talk about the book. So you wrote three books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one book that I love, and I've read it in meetings, parts of it, and I talk about this guy all the time, but Joe the Concrete Guy. Right? I'm telling you, if I think all three of his books are amazing. You should read all three.
Yes,
but
I agree.
I would say that if you are in the trades, especially if you're somebody that is hung up on selling, you read Joe the Concrete Guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it will totally change
right
your belief system.
Because it's so simple. It's so simple. So the story you're referring to is when people think about a sales process, they think high pressure, they think script, they think straitjacket. Nobody wants to do that stuff. So I lived up in the mountains west of Colorado Springs for many years in a small town called Woodland Park. And every day I would see this guy around town, and it was a white Ford pickup, and it said Joe the Concrete Guy and a phone number. And I thought it was just like the most beautiful marketing message. Like, what kind of work do they do there? Concrete, who does it? Joe. Pretty simple. You can't really screw that marketing message up. So one day I'm out in my driveway. I need some concrete work done, some steps. So I call up Joe. Joe comes out to my house. He's exactly what I expected. Long, bushy head of hair, big beard, T-shirt, cut off, some flip-flops. He's like the honey badger. Doesn't give a shit. He's not pretentious. He's not pushy. He's not high pressure. He's just a good old boy. So he looks at the steps, and it's going to be about $1,000 for the steps. And I said, great, let's get it on your schedule. Then he looks at me and he says, well, why is your motorcycle trailer parked in the dirt in the rocks next to your driveway? It was kind of a dry riverbed and I said, well, Joe, as you can plainly see, the driveway is not wide enough for the trailer. And he says to me, you know, when I'm here pouring your steps, I could widen your driveway. And just like that, my budget went to $10,000. And so afterwards, I asked him, I said, Joe, where'd you learn to do that? And he said, well, he said, you see my truck out there? I said, yeah. And what does it say? I said, well, it says Joe the Concrete Guy. He goes, yeah, the operative word is concrete. It doesn't say Joe the HVAC plumbing window, you know, siding guy. It says Joe the Concrete Guy. And this is all I know how to do. It's all I've ever known how to do. Then he said the magic words. He said, I learned a long time ago that if I'm going to feed my family, if I'm going to pay my bills, I have a very simple job. Every time I walk onto a piece of property, I look for every problem that concrete can solve, and I tell the homeowners. There's your magic formula. And I was talking to your guys this morning. Our job is real simple. Every time you walk in a house, you guys offer just a vast array of services, not just the plumbing, the electrical, the HVAC, the standard stuff, but the lighting and the water filtration and the this and the that and the other. Like, our job is simply to go in there and look for every way we can improve the quality mm-hmm. of life for a homeowner, every problem that we can solve for them, and tell them about it with the expectation that no is a perfectly acceptable answer. Because the answer is always no until we ask. And it's such a simple process, and it was a game changer for the way I approach teaching people and how we run our own companies.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and I tell the technicians the same thing. I'm like, listen, when you go into a home, you look for potential points of failure or potential points of improvement. And one of the things you have to realize is a lot of people, like, if nobody's had a high efficiency, variable speed HVAC system, they don't know what it's like.
No,
if you had a guy that was born without sight, right? And you said, hey, listen, I can probably get your sight back through this procedure. There's a 10% chance you'll lose your hearing. He's probably going to say, no, I know what it's like not to have sight.
Right.
But I don't know what sight is, but I do not want to lose my hearing, right? Now, you give that guy sight and he's got hearing and he's never had it. Now he's like, wow.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I just talked to somebody, a woman used to actually work for us. And she called me the other day and we just put in a brand new system for her, two systems and new ductwork. And she's like, Patrick, like it is, my kids come home for the holidays and they're like, all these years I've lived in this house and I lived in this bedroom and it was miserable. And now after we move out, you put this in? This is fantastic. And it was just funny because when my wife, you know, when I first got in the industry, I put in a brand new system, the Lennox XC25 it was, you know, variable speed and condenser furnace. I put in the highest level of filtration, PCO, everything you can get. And so my wife, other than I'm in air conditioning, she didn't know anything about air conditioning, right? So after the system's in, my youngest, she was about probably 6 months old at the time. After the system was in a week or so, I said, do you notice anything different about the air? And she said, yeah, you know what? Sophia doesn't wake up with a runny nose anymore since we put the system in. And I was like, well, that's not even what I was asking about, right? But she noticed a difference in our daughter because of putting in the right indoor air quality.
Right.
And I said, oh, wow, that's really good information. I said, but I mean like the air conditioning. She's like, it's like walking in a cool, comfortable cloud of air, right?
Yep.
And she's like, it's amazing. Yep. And I was like, wow, that's a marketing line.
Yeah.
That's a marketing story. Yep. So, but yeah, you've got to find the opportunity. And you use an analogy similar to what I tell people. And I say, listen, if I go to get a physical and the doctor does a physical and he says, you know what, you should probably walk more, take in some more water, you know, beats around the bush. And then 6 months later, he stops in because he's in the hospital. He sees I'm in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks in. He says, you know, yeah, I saw this coming.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what do you mean you saw it coming?
Why didn't you tell me?
Oh, I didn't want to give you too much bad news. But wait, I could have prevented this?
Right.
If you told me, I'm mad at you now.
Yeah.
Right? At least give me options.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell the technicians. Like, you have to go in. Because there are technicians who will be like, well, I don't want to tell them everything. Because
right.
they're going to think I'm trying to sell them.
And,
No.
Forbid.
You make the decision, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner. I'm just going to tell you what is a concern to me. And you decide what to do with it.
Yep.
And then that way, 6 months later, when the system breaks down, they can't say, why didn't you tell me?
Right.
You know, so right. it's all a mindset thing. How do we look at things? How do we approach things? Real quick, let's give the three books you have, just give a quick what each one is, because they're each different.
Yeah, they're all different. So my first book is a book called The Upside of Fear, and it's an autobiography, and it's kind of the story of my 25 years before my father died and what a knucklehead and a loser that I was, and then my life after my father died, the things I learned, the transformation that I went through, and that whole story. And people love that book. That book came out. I didn't consider myself a writer, but I wrote that book myself. I did get some help with the editing, and the book comes out, and it becomes New York Book Festival's Best Autobiography of the Year and Writer's Digest Best Book of the Year. Me.
Wow, that's right, awesome.
Ninth high school job. Then I got a book deal with Wiley & Sons, which is the biggest business book publisher. I self-published my first book. I got a two-book deal with them, wrote The Power of Consistency. That's all about the mindset, right? Everything you were talking about, the expectations, visualization, manifestation. And it's the chemical neuroscience version of it, not the secret mystical version of it, right?
Yeah,
it's the stuff I can sink my teeth into. That book hit New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestseller. My third book is a book called Consistency Selling, which is an Amazon number one bestseller. And that's the selling process that I've developed and used over the years and been teaching for 20 some odd years now.
Okay, nice. And they're all fantastic books. I recommend them all. And I will tell you, I'm a fan. Like, I'll listen to books on audio, but I also, I prefer to read them. Mm-hmm. There's certain books I'll listen to on audio because just expediency, right? Or I'm traveling and I just want to kind of lay my head back and listen, whatever. But I like reading because I think that when you actually read a book, and that's what I tell a lot of the young people I engage with, when you read a book, it improves your vocabulary and everything. It's just such it's a little bit harder than listening to something, but there's a whole different level of engagement and learning that comes out of it. So,
I tell people, I just want to comment on that. Reading is so important. If you read 15 minutes a day, at night or in the morning, whenever, you will finish the average business book in a month. If you do that every night for 15 minutes, you would read 12, 14, 16 new books every year. Imagine if you read 12 or 14 books every year on sales, communication, influence, persuasion, all the stuff that we deal with, I mean, you would be an industry expert.
Yeah.
Just by doing it 15 minutes a day. Again, it's not about the scope of what we do. It's about the consistency with which we do it. I've written three books, and two of them have the word consistency in the title. So that's some kind of indication of how important I think it is.
Well, that's, and anybody who listens to my podcast or watches it knows that I'm on this health journey. It's a long journey, but it's a never-ending journey. But
it is.
The one thing I say is it's, and my mentors that I have in that space are like, they're like, Patrick, it's about consistency,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not about making every workout the best workout and every meal the best meal. It's about consistently showing up at the gym and eating healthy. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be 100%. Right. But if you're consistent, you make headway and you move forward. And so,
I always tell people, it's not about New Year's Day, your birthday, or Christmas Day. It's about today.
Yes.
Always.
Yes. So well said. You've got something new you're working on? It's coming out?
Yeah. So you may know Gary Alex,
who
is another legend in the industry. In fact, I've been doing it 25 5 years or so. Gary's been doing it for 40 years, came out of college, went to work for Lennox, went to work for, buying and selling companies for them. He's had numerous of his own companies. So he and I are launching the Contracting Edge in January. And the Contracting Edge kind of combines my sales expertise and the things that I do and kind of the stuff we've been doing for your company. And he focuses more on the marketing, the budgeting, the annual planning, and the business and financial side. And so, be out there and looking for it. We'll be launching a bunch of stuff in January. And the Contracting Edge, it's more of a, whereas I'm focused on the sales development communication side for your technicians, this is more of a comprehensive, like, whole business development process that we put together.
And I've been through one of his two-day classes back in the day, and it is impressive.
It is.
I mean, he knows his stuff.
He does.
And he, like you in what you do, you can simplify it.
Yeah.
And he does the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so I highly recommend you check out Weldon Long.
Yep.
Check out the Contractor's Edge.
Yeah, you go to weldonlong.com and the Contracting Edge. .com.
And I'm going to put in the show notes, too, all the information you need, the books, how they can contact you, links to you and everything like that.
I'd love to help.
I'm somebody, obviously, we've engaged with Weldon Long and his team and do not regret it. And he's been one of my mentors before he knew I existed. You guys know I've talked a couple episodes back about mentors and how important it is to have mentors. And I think the one thing people kind of forget or don't realize is that your mentor doesn't have to be somebody that even knows you're alive. I mean, you had many mentors.
I was in prison. I was in books. I promise you, Stephen Covey and Tony Robbins didn't know I was alive sitting up in my prison cell reading their books.
Yeah. And that's you can have mentors and everybody should have mentors. But you, long before we met, have been a mentor of mine and have inspired me.
Well, I'm honored to hear that.
So,
I really appreciate
that. Well, I'm honored to have you on the podcast and have you in our building.
Yes.
I mean,
great
that's
facility.
It's one of those things too. It's like I used to think like how do you get Weldon Long to be in your building and how do you get him to be training your team in your building and it's one of those things that I always just kind of wanted to make happen.
Yeah.
But I didn't wake up every day and think about it.
Right.
It was just like,
yes,
and,
it's there.
But and it came together.
Now you got me on your speed dial, you bark an order, and I jump.
Yeah, well, I'm honored. I really appreciate you coming on this podcast.
Likewise, it's a privilege.
Before we go, and this is kind of on the spot, but what would be the one thing you can say to anybody out there that's in the trades trying to level up? Mm-hmm. Or you know who I really like to speak to is that guy out there who took the risk, started a business,
yep,
out of his garage, whatever, and now he's in the truck. He's trying to get out of the truck. Mm-hmm. That's a leap.
Yep.
And most people struggle to make that leap because it's uncomfortable and it's scary. But what would be any parting advice?
The first thing I would say is two components. Because there's always the mindset component and the process component. Mindset-wise, understand that your expectations create your reality. Think about what you think about before you think about it. On the process side, build an organization chart. I don't care how small your company is, build it out how you expect it to look in 3 years, 5 years, whatever the case is. Your name's going to be in a lot of those boxes. It's basically the E-Myth, right? That book talks a lot about this. And Ken Goodrich has done a book on the E-Myth for contractors. Build that org chart, see exactly what that company needs to look like. Then you get to decide, oh, I like this part of my job, I'll keep myself in this box, but I need a service manager, or I need a salesperson, I need whatever. You've got to get some organization. The one thing I've learned, and I'm sure you've learned the same thing, profitability and chaos do not coexist. If your company is in complete chaos, lack of organization chart, lack of processes, it's virtually impossible to be able to make money.
Yeah, very well said. And you said something else this morning to the team that I like about confused mind.
The confused mind says no.
Yeah.
Don't overwhelm your homeowners. Make specific recommendations. Here's what I'm going to recommend and here's why. Number one, you're giving them recommendations. As I always say, if you went to the doctor and the doctor said, man, you're really sick, what do you think we should do? I wouldn't be very happy with that doctor. I expect my doctor to know what to do. And so make those specific recommendations. Understand that no is a perfectly acceptable answer. And just get out there and do your thing. I tell people, man, get out there, kick ass, take some names, have a great day, have fun. You're going to get some no's. It's just part of the deal, right? Fall down 8 times, get up 9.
Yeah, well said. And with that said, again, thank you.
Thank you, brother. Great
truly
to see you.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. And thank you for tuning in to the Tradepreneur Show. Remember, We're on YouTube. If you really want to see how good these two gentlemen, myself and Weldon, look, you can check us out on YouTube. Or you can listen to us anywhere you can find podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. There's so many of them out there. iHeartRadio, you name it, we're there. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate any likes and shares and comments. You reach us at thetradepreneurshow.com. You can email me at info@thetradepreneurshow.com. Until next time, stay great.
Take care.